We are back for the last hour of the 9 till noon show. A caller says, can you please announce that chair yoga class in Glenvar, which is due to start at noon, is cancelled this morning. Thank you. That came in to us from Teresa McCloskey. Hi, Greg. Just wondering if you're scheduled to run a live show in the Kent Centre the day after the election. The coverage during the locals was terrific. Well, if you enjoyed the coverage of the locals, we are raising the game. Yes, of course, we will be broadcasting live throughout Saturday, not just on the radio, but also across our social media platforms. I'll be chairing the coverage. We'll have a panel of guests to talk through what's happening down in the Kent Centre. The team is down there as well in the form of Michaela Clark and Donald Kavanagh, who will be bringing you loads of information as it relates to the day, but also leading up to that day and where things might be going. Caroline Orr is going to be there, of course, as always, producing Shannon Wilkin on site as well, and a full tech team. So we have put an awful lot in place to ensure that it's bigger, bolder and better. So yes, of course, not just will you be able to listen when that suits you in the car or wherever, but you're off on the Saturday. What else will we be doing? Stick us on the telly. We're going to be on YouTube, Facebook and on the X platform, broadcasting live throughout the day on Saturday with coverage equal to and exceeding what you would have enjoyed then during the local elections. The Creaslot Day Centre will not be supplying Meals on Wheels this morning. This due to weather conditions, I was asked to announce. I was also asked to announce this. We're thrilled to announce the arrival of the new Swilly Mulroy Mobility Bus, a significant addition to our community transport services. The state-of-the-art vehicle is designed to provide safe, reliable and accessible transportation for individuals with disabilities and mobility challenges in our community. We're also on the lookout for volunteer bus drivers to join our teams. That's good news. Well done. Always good when you see a new bit of gear secured there. Greg, we're told that we need inward migration to help with our future economy. However, in the other hand, we're told by these same experts that AI will do away with many jobs, that we don't need as many work as many workers in the future. Well, I would never rule out what AI could do, but I don't think it's going to pull you a pint. I don't think it's going to make your bed. I don't think it's going to care for your loved one, or I don't think it's going to get you through the ED. I take your wider point. I'm not sure what jobs might actually be affected by that in the long run, but the stuff that we need, that certainly we need to be producing, we need people to do it, sorry, is what I was going to say. Danny McDade's from the Donegal branch of the Diabetes National Secretary. Sorry, he's the National Secretary for Diabetes Ireland, also heads up the Donegal branch. Good morning to you, Danny. Thanks for your time.
Oh, good morning, Greg. Thanks for having me on.
Another election, another interview. Are we any further on in terms of services for people with diabetes? Many of them in Donegal.
Yeah, you know, it's worse. You know, I've been involved with Diabetes Ireland, Donegal branch for since 1993, and you know, that's a long time ago, and that time we expected, or the general rule was that that every person with diabetes would be seen, the recommended was 6 months, but at that time everybody was seen within a year, from my recollection, and we didn't even have an endocrinologist that time. We fought hard, long and hard, to get an endocrinologist. After about 10 years, we did get one, but now I've been informed by our chairperson, Paul Gillespie, that the waiting time now is between 4 and 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Now, explain to those who may not know why that is critical in terms of, I suppose, the management and treatment of one's diabetes. What are the problems that can present with such long gaps between seeing your consultant?
Yeah, well, I suppose the most important one is probably podiatry, which we don't have. We have a podiatrist appointed there recently, which is not a senior podiatrist, but is filling in, you know. But it is one, you know, and the amount of damage that can be done, you know, kidneys, eyes, etc., you know, that it's just gone from bad to worse. You know, Letterkenny hospital is not they're just not fit for purpose anymore, you know.
Is it still the case that Letterkenny is serviced by an endocrinologist travelling up monthly from Galway? Has that situation improved? Because I think middle of the year that was the lay of the land.
No, it hasn't improved. We had an endocrinologist of the chemist who was 75% for diabetes, you know, and that time most people were seen within a year, but then it stretched out to 2 years, and now it appears that the Dr. Chemist is only doing 8 hours a week on diabetes now, and you know the recent meeting which I didn't attend in Letterkenny with management was that there was two endocrinologists to be appointed, and there were interviews done, and there was two earmarked, and one of them came up and to the hospital, was, you know, turned it down, you know, and we were assured then that the other one would be appointed in January, and it's now appeared that they have declined to come to Letterkenny as well, you know. The staff, you need a team behind you. If an endocrinologist comes in, they need all the different,
But we also have to, I mean, at this point, we have to ask the question why people are applying for jobs, accepting them and then declining them. That's significant, because the HSC themselves will concede, the CELTA will concede there is an issue in a challenge in filling consultant posts here. Well, we need to get down to the reason as to why. I mean, in this case, we're talking about diabetes services. But there are other services, because it costs the public, obviously, the patient, their outcomes are not being the maximised, right? But also there's people ending up stuck in hospital because of podiatry shortages. They don't need to be in there at all. So they're using up valuable resources because it's a chicken and egg, isn't it? Because they're not getting the attention that they need in advance of that.
10% of the health budget is spent on diabetes, but 80% of that is spent on treating complications. If you get me just.
Yeah, you're calling on politicians, if elected, will they join the cross-party group for diabetes in Leinster House, and also more broadly for the hospital, will they support the 5-point plan for LUH, which has been proposed by medical professionals? Those are the two commitments you're seeking from the 20 candidates, I presume, Danny.
Absolutely, yeah. That's, you know, there is a 5-point plan there now. I'm not up to speed on the details of it, you know, but it's been, you know, this is coming from within the hospital. Consultants, not. They want a 5. You see, there is a model of care that should be adhered to, which was dictated by the Minister for Health, you know, but that seems to, you know, Letterkenny in general, it needs to be upgraded. That's one of the points that the politicians should be looking at when they're if they're elected or re-elected.
I get you, Danny. Okay, I have to leave it there, Danny. Listen, we'll it'll probably come up during our debates next week. We'll see. Danny McDade of Donegal Diabetes, thank you very much indeed for that. Some comments coming in this morning. Hi, Greg, please wish Miranda good luck. She's a great lady, a great lively feel, good factor. Best wishes, Madeline Terman. Greg, I feel these political debates are spoiled by constant interruptions and talking over by the candidates. It gets people's backs up and loses support for the candidate. It's a toughie, isn't it? Because, you know, everyone wants to get their point across. I think some people love the back and forth. You know, that gives people a buzz, and sometimes that actually makes them interested in the election when they weren't previously. I think if you have 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 candidates, I mean, it's impossible to chair that. I think with 6 or 7 candidates, you do get an opportunity to hear their views. But there is also space there for people to argue the views amongst each other, which I think, you know, to some extent can be useful too. I do understand exactly where you're coming from, but is there a better system other than a candidate really just preaching to you? Greg, why do we not follow the example of Hungary and encourage women to have children by giving women all they need to stay home with their children if they wish? Good maternity leave, good tax cuts for couples. The more children they have, the more family allowance. For more children, better, cheaper childcare when they return to work. It seems to be working there. There's a few things in that. Firstly, some women might say, well, actually, I want to be able to go and work, so give me better childcare, give me better supports and all that type of stuff. Secondly, too, you open up that conversation, then people will start saying, right, well, certain people are having babies just to exploit exactly what you're saying, to encourage them. And that's being abused, you see. It's complicated. I have to choose my words clearly, but I just kind of know the counter-arguments that might come in. Young people that have gone on to third-level college, educated themselves to the highest, they've already tried to buy homes in this country. It doesn't matter what wage they have, they can still never afford to buy a house. They've left Ireland disappointed and angry with the government leaving them in this situation. Regarding no children being born, again, it comes back to government. Couples cannot afford to have a family as they cannot afford to take time off work or pay a mortgage with only one wage, as one parent takes time off to rear children. This is the reason for the decline of children being born in Ireland. Indeed, and you know, there's a big move on social media where men and women are in their 40s and they celebrate it by saying, child-free, no babysitters, can do whatever I like. Another listener says, the interview on TV3 last night with Mary Lou was disgraceful. How could they bring up the murder of Jean McConville? I know that the interviewer was trying to push the buttons, but how could they ask such a question? I'm in no way a Sinn Féin supporter. I switched in just as the, I think it was being put out in the conversation of the Boston tapes and the TV show on Disney. I only came in halfway through that question, unless it was raised earlier. I think it actually probably was a good opportunity for Mary Lou McDonald to get on the record in relation to that. And if it's the same part of the programme, and I didn't see much of it that I saw, she probably would come away thinking that she handled it well, if you know what I mean. That being said, you see, if the question wasn't brought up, then people would be saying that she got an easy interview. So we can't have it every way, maybe. All our grandchildren are being born and raised in other countries. They've all left as they have to. Those who have stayed are in well-paying jobs, and even they can't afford to have more than two children. We say that there aren't enough babies, yet we voted in favour of abortion. Over 6,000 babies were aborted in the first year alone. What do you expect? Well, you can't force people to have babies either. And, you know, many of these abortions were taking place outside of the country, whether you like it or not. I'm not saying that it hasn't led to an increase in them, but people were so determined to make their own life choice that they were travelling abroad to do it. As I say, you can't compel people to have babies either. Maybe that's not the point you're making. Does anyone know what the Glenshane Pass is like today? Let me know. Greg, please stop mixing up the difference between genuine people who've come here for years to legally work and make a life for themselves and those who recently came here illegally with no ID and not the first port of call for refuge. They may be in tents or hotels now, but they'll eventually have to be processed and housed. If we are overwhelmed now in our resources, how are we to support all these new arrivals, never mind young families here? So there are people come here on work permits. Are we talking about that? And then separately is those coming here for refuge or asylum. So we do bring people in here on work permits already. So are you saying only have that system and not have this other system, or not to give people an opportunity if they are fleeing desperation and they're from a non-safe country to go through that process and to begin work and take their skill sets and start contributing to society? If I'm mixing up, you tell me what you want. You tell me what you think we're doing right or wrong at the moment and what you'd like to see change, because I'm only just trying to read the room and the various different policies from all the parties and those not with a party. Now, children as young as 9 are asking parents or Santee to buy them expensive and often damaging beauty products. Leading dermatologists have said children, as I say, as young as 9 are putting pressure on to get expensive anti-aging skincare products. This is part of trends on TikTok and elsewhere. And some experts say it could damage their sensitive skin. Mary Ferry is a beautician and owner of Genesis Aesthetic Skin and Hair Studio and joins us on the programme now, Mary. And I think there's an in-between there, particularly I think with young girls, whereby, you know, they're not fully fledged grown-up people and they're not very, very young people. And there's a lot of Santa letters going out there looking for these brands. And they know the brands, Mary, and they're expensive brands. What's your view on it? What's your take?
Do you hear me, Greg?
Loud and clear.
Oh, great, Greg. I was just checking. I wasn't sure. It's happening a lot. I mean, I can see, you know, you can see it in the high streets. You can hear it from parents saying that the Christmas lists, even birthdays, and that they're asking for really expensive brands of, and not of just skincare products, but also makeup products. And it's pure social media. It's what they're seeing. It's well branded. It's well publicized. It's beautiful packaging. It's colorful. Sells well, and this is what's attracting them. And then if you've got a group of friends saying this is what they're using, they feel like it's pure peer pressure. They want to have that product too. But to be honest, there's no need for it. They're way too young, way, way too young at 9, 10 years of age, 11 even.
Well,
you know.
What's your advice to parents? Because it's possible, you know, we do see trends where we're told that children are reaching puberty younger, and that can have an impact on the skin, of course. But it would seem that the default position is to reach for the expensive creams and products. You're saying, are there other ways, more efficient, safer ways for them to look after their skin?
There is. Like, I know for sure. You know, they are reaching puberty much, much younger. You know, that could be from just diet and high calorie diets, processed foods, chemicals. There's lots of stuff out there now that's been linked to early puberty. And I know you can go through that at maybe 11 years of age, which is going to have an effect on the skin. You're going to have that imbalance of hormones, breakouts, you know, your pustules and pimples and patches. So that's where they're panicking. That's where it'll affect their confidence, their mental health. And I then they see this on TikTok and they look at this beautiful glass clear skin that older models are, you know, portraying across, and this is what they want. But to be honest, if I was the parent, don't just go down that road of purchasing really expensive. There's no need to. I think if you just they need to be educated in it and how the skin works and what is happening at that stage. Mm. When you have that puberty stage, you've got more oil being secreted. So that means you just need to get educated and advice.
And we'll do that. But the problem is Mary, TikTok is incredibly influential and they're being pushed these products over and over again. And they're, you know, they're being targeted by people that they relate to as well, right? So they're being spoken to by people they trust. And then, of course, you know, demand is driven and there is a supply to meet that demand. And it's hard to break that chain, isn't it? People don't want to say no. But rather than it maybe it not being necessary, Mary, is there any potential that it's actually damaging to the skin? So if they're using, crazily enough, anti-aging skincare products, or they're using treatments or particular moisturizers, is it damaging or unnecessary?
Oh, it's both. It's both for sure. Because what you're doing is you're altering the pH balance of the skin. And those products, you'll see it all the time. I mean, I'm not going to name brands, but you've got the glycolic acid, salicylic acid. You've got they smell lovely. They're beautiful colors. That's what sells well. That is going to break the lipid barrier on a young skin. And that when you do that, that's breeding ground for bacteria, for your irritations, your dermatitis, your eczema. You'll have loads of stuff happening on the barrier of the skin. Then you're going to disrupt the skin's barrier and breakouts and rashes and what so on.
You see, the thing too is Mary, I actually don't believe any 9-year-old is actually really motivated to care for their skin. Maybe they are. I think it's more to have on the bedside locker when the friends arrive, or to take out on the school bus or at break time, that you take this out and people go and they recognise the brand and the colouring and they go, oh, wow, look at you. I don't really think, maybe I'm out of touch here, but 8, 9-year-olds, 10-year-olds are actively trying to protect the youthfulness of their skin, if that makes sense.
Well, I agree with you there, Greg, but also I have seen it, and I have seen in shops in high streets with their basket, a load of young girls, and their basket is full. I'm listening to them. They're putting in collagen iPads. They're putting in masks. And I'm looking at them going, at this, I'm glancing going, that's not for you. That is so not for you. But it looks lovely. The packaging looks lovely. And they're putting on masks on their skin. That is completely wrong. It's not for their skin type at all. Mm. But they're picking up anything and anything goes. And they're, you know, collagen iPads at a 12, 13-year-old. Like, that's for 20-plus. So it's silly. It's really, there's no need. I mean, for parents out there, I would advise them, you're going to get good advice in the majority of pharmacies, chemists now, for sure. You know, they're educated there. They can point them in the right direction. If they're at a stage where the acne has got really worse and it's needing more help than just products, then go into their local salon, get professional advice on what to use. Don't just go out and grab the high street brands that are the high end brands. But I mean, there's lots of other great products out there.
Yeah, but again, it's so difficult to parent, especially, you know, if 8 friends have it and one doesn't. What do you do? It's a little bit like, you know, vaping or teenage discos. I think parents would much prefer if the availability sometimes wasn't there, and that, you know, there was responsible marketing. In other words, you do not actively, you can't actively market your products at an age group, which shouldn't be on TikTok anyway. That's a different point altogether. So there's an awful lot to unpack here, but I don't know what advice you give to parents, because I know the reality of pushing back against the peer pressure.
Yeah, no, I understand that. That is tough. That is hard, because is it not a bit the same? I know I'm going to clothing, but branding clothing is the same. Yeah. They don't want just the normal runners. They want the Nike. They want, you know.
But they're not going to damage their feet, whereas these products potentially could expose their skin, couldn't they? And yeah. Let's just a couple of comments here. My daughter is 11, going through puberty since 10. It's not diet. She's a very healthy, active young girl. She had some of these brands, but she soon realised that some were causing more harm from use. But what happens is I think that's family is in a decent position there, because the young girl understands the situation. Another 8, 9, 10-year-old likes the brand so much they might double down and do worse damage. A caller says, when have parents stopped being parents? Gentle parenting is simply not parenting. You're supposed to love, teach and guide your children. And saying no is a big part of this. Having someone on chatting about anti-aging products for weans is unbelievable. We're literally, what we're doing here is not promoting them. We're quite literally responding to a phenomenon at the moment where Santa letters, as well as requests on parents or what have you, are featuring high-value anti-aging creams from 8, 9, 10-year-olds, or me and you wouldn't be talking about this. We're not making it up, and we're not trying to sell them. We're trying to discourage it, Mary. But yeah, saying no, but that's not, I'm a radio show presenter and you're a skin and hair expert. We can't, parenting advice is beyond my remit anyway. It's bloody tough, but yeah, we should say no, but we are where we are.
You know, to be honest, Greg, it would be excellent if the likes of they were educated at school. Mm. So, you know, at that age of 9, 10, where you get in an expert to go and talk to them about the cleansing of the skin, how the skin works and the basic stuff they need to do, because it's like being educated in anything. I think they need to get that at school and then they know better than when they go on to see this on TikTok. And,
because the way it is the industry says, oh, great, we seem to have, we've topped out in our female beauty sales. Let's look at fellas. Right, okay, now fellas are moisturising and looking after that skin, but I think we've sort of caught all of those now. What do we do next? Let's start on the 9 and 8 and 9 and 10-year-olds. It's commercially driven. You know what I mean? That's the bottom line. And unfortunately, that is how cruel big business can be. All right, Mary, listen, as always, thank you so very much for your time. It's been great having you on the show, and thanks for your advice, because I think, too, it's useful for parents to know that in thinking they're doing the right thing for their young girls, primarily, they may not have been aware that actually could be exposing them to skin. And if you've got bad acne, and they could live with that for the rest of their life. And it's an expert you need to see, not a 10-second video on TikTok.
Absolutely.
All right, Mary, God bless you. Thank you very much indeed. That is Mary Ferry there, 086 60 25,000. If you're under pressure, are you getting that? I mean, are you guys, you are the granny and granddads and the mums and dads and what have you out there, are you seeing younger and younger children specifically asking for certain brands of expensive, you know, care products, facial products, anti-aging cream? Can you imagine putting those? Like, I mean, I know kids will play spa, so, you know, they'll do spa and pretend and all that kind of stuff, but doing it themselves by choice as a bedtime routine, it seems, you know, that should be worried about other things. But anyway, is that just a group of parents and it's not the majority, or do lots of you feel under pressure to purchase these expensive products for very young, you know, prepubescent girls in many cases? We mentioned earlier that thousands of women in Britain and Northern Ireland are planning to take legal action against Johnson & Johnson over alleged links between its baby powder and cancer. Lawyers claim the company knew for decades that there was allegedly asbestos present in its talc products, although Johnson & Johnson maintained that its baby powder was safe and stressed that it takes the issue of talc safety incredibly seriously. If the action goes ahead, it's understood to be the first of its kind against the pharmaceutical giant in the UK. Derry woman Sharon Doherty joins me on the programme now. Thanks for your time, Sharon. How are you keeping?
Oh, you're welcome, Greg. Yeah, what can you say? Okay, you know, you just do the best you can every day, you know.
In 2020, you received that diagnosis, Sharon, didn't you? Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Well, ovarian cancer is called the silent killer because there's not very many symptoms. And I would have to say that I, you know, agree with that. I had excruciating pain, I'd say once or twice. And then, excuse me, I had some bloating, and but nothing really else major, some light bleeding. But I was at the age of the menopause. I thought it had something to do with that. And then when I went to get checked up, I had a very large cyst on the ovary, and when then they removed that, they discovered I had both ovarian and fallopian cancer, and I had to go through the major surgery, the hysterectomy. Then I had to go through 6 months of chemotherapy, so it was absolutely devastating for me and my family, you know.
And the fight continues because you were recently told your cancer had returned.
Yeah, you know, recovered then in the years after. And, you know, I'm a person who looks after herself, you know, health-wise. I've always done so. And I went back to yoga and eating. I always ate healthy anyway. And you think you're doing the right things. And this year, I started to become very tired. But it was January, February. We're all tired around that time of year. I didn't pay much heed. And I was slightly ill, you know, and I just happened to get a checkup with the nurse, and she didn't think that it was okay. So got a scan, and then when I was brought to Belfast at the end of May, unfortunately, I was told that I have 3 more tumours this time, you know, so I was absolutely devastated, as my family and friends as well, you know.
I'm really sorry to hear that, and I hope your treatment progresses well. It's a situation where we get J&J effectively saying that this is nonsense, it's not the case, but they've been faced with tens of thousands of lawsuits in the US over alleged links between talc and cancer. And in August 2020, it said it would stop making talc-based powder globally and would transition to using cornstarch. And the company discontinued sales of talc-based baby powder in the UK as late as just last year. But they are completely rejecting any links between baby powder and cancer. If that's the case, why take the action that it has up until now, I wonder?
Well, excuse me. The thing is, there were studies done by Reuters, and they discovered as far as 1971, there was links with talc having asbestos in it. And there was other major studies done in 2014. and 2020. So the links were there in the industry. And also, it's 62,000 people have taken a class action in America, and they've already put aside $13 billion for payouts. So, you know, that speaks in of itself, you know. It's really shocking that a huge company that depended on a family-friendly business model, you know, that knew, well, you know, the studies were there and they continue to use the product. It's really shocking, you know.
Other than talcum powder being used widely by in your family as you were growing up, is there anything else beyond that that you've been told or know that links your cancer with talcum powder use? I wonder, Sharon.
Well, when I looked under it myself, Craig, and it doesn't take that much to find the research papers that were done by scientists in hospitals and research facilities. There's also, which I was shocked at, and I think for myself was, you know, as well as you say, we all, well, in our family anyway, use baby powder.
Well, it was the treat coming out of the bath almost, actually. Childhood.
I know. And the clouds in the bathroom of the powder, and also in Derry, the swimming pool in the 70s was our, you know, that was all our leisure we had. And the clouds of powder coming from the changing rooms was normal, you know. And then you just continue on with what you have at home. So I continued on using that under my 20s. But what I discovered was there's feminine hygiene products that used the talc and, you know, with the asbestos present. Mm. And I used a lot of those, as right. I think all girls do in their 20s and 30s.
Understood.
And also face powders and dry shampoo. I would have used a lot of that because... you know, because of in my teenage years, I think all teenagers.
So you had high level of exposure in many areas.
Yeah.
But one thing I can't understand, I can unfortunately, is they've been paying out billions over the last quarter of a century, and why only withdraw this product in its form last year? I mean, that in and of itself requires incredible scrutiny, because I wouldn't pay anything to anyone unless I thought I had some level of liability. But to still continue to do it is worrying, to say the very least.
Yeah, and it's, as you know, excuse me, and that's why I decided to join the campaign with the other woman, especially for the ovarian cancer, is because, you know, it's just that lack of responsibility or accountability that these huge companies feel that they can get away with, you know, and people's health, you know. It's just total disregard.
And the thing too, you know, you've got people like yourself who can continue for your cancer treatment, but I was reading some quotes from other women who, I mean, they're almost conceding, given their diagnoses, that they won't see the outcome of this. You know what I mean? It's really just about getting justice or to look after their children. And then there's the God knows how many that passed away without ever seeing this action beginning in the UK, so to speak. I mean, it's horrendous when you think about it. You don't have to think about it because it's your lived experience, Sharon, but I'm on about, you know, me being removed and looking on. It's absolutely horrendous.
Well, you know, at the minute, there's nearly 600 women diagnosed with ovarian cancer in the island of Ireland every year. And when you think, as you say, back, this is a generation that's coming of age that would have been, you know, consistently using the products and all the different products. So we're of coming of that age. So how many women have passed on and maybe not even realised that their families, that was the reason? Because the other kind of telling similarity is a lot of the women are going, can't understand really why I got cancer, because I did lead a fairly healthy life, you know. So, you know, as I say, it's just astounding, you know, that when you do think about it, how many women could have been affected and are affected now. And that's why I wanted to come on, just to let people know, you know, unfortunately, if they have a diagnosis of ovarian or fallopian cancer, you know, they maybe want to look into it for themselves and their family and feel that we can do something, you know.
There's absolutely no blame that you could level at mums or dads, but, you know, there's bound to be people out there that are struggling with that emotion. What have I done? How, you know, in some way I'm a part of this. You know what I mean? Like, there's ripples to, there's those directly affected, and then there's those that are going to feel like some responsibility, which they shouldn't. Do you know, it captures so many different people in different ways. We wish you, Sharon, the very best with your next course of treatment, and hopefully you get through it really, really quickly. And as well with this action too, we wish you success in that. And I really do appreciate you speaking to us, Sharon. And best wishes to you and all of yours.
Thank you, Greg. I appreciate that.
All right, take care, Sharon. Thank you so very much indeed. That's Sharon. Sharon Doherty, who is from Derry, as you heard there, diagnosed with ovarian cancer and fallopian cancer on the right side, the ovarian cancer on the left side. That's back in 2020. Went through the tough treatments between operations and 6 months of chemotherapy. But unfortunately, Sharon has learned recently that her cancer has returned and is hoping to start her next round of treatment in the coming weeks. And I'm sure you'll join me in wishing her the very best in that regard. And she's one of, at the moment, 2,000 people who are involved with KP Law, which is leading a UK case. Now, I mean, J&J still insist that they're all innocent. And I read some that they're effectively saying, even though they've paid out that they've won or appealed the vast majority of trials in the US, and they insist that studies show that there isn't a link. But, I mean, it's evident there, and they've paid out billions in the last quarter of a century. All right, what would you do in this situation? I bought a tumble dryer for €120 on Facebook Marketplace. I met the guy in Letterkenny. He said he was from Strabane. He was driving a Donegal regged car. We had a quick transfer, and I gave my he gave me instructions on keeping it upright, which we did. I got home, and the on switch was jammed. When I texted him to say no power showing, he claimed he used it the day he gave it to me, and that was the end of that. All his pages are now gone, so I've been well and truly caught. I just want to warn people, don't just message people, get phone numbers. Yeah, indeed. And I would say his pages are there, but I think you're blocked. He's blocked you off that. It's a toughie because maybe it did work the day of it. I just would be really reluctant to buy electrical stuff online like that. But that being said, sometimes, I mean, £120 for a tumble dryer is quite a lot of money secondhand, but there you go. Craigtown National School, car in Donner Road, not gritted again. It was like a bottle this morning. Cars getting stuck. Apparently, it's not on the list to be gritted, which is shocking, the amount of children and traffic on that road. Lots of you texting in along those lines as well. Let me see. I got a message here. Morning, Greg. I'm wondering how we could get a road added to the gritting list. My child goes to Craigtown National School in Carn Donagh, one of the biggest national schools in the area, with 170 children attending. The road's never gritted. It was treacherous this morning, thick with ice, and it was so dangerous. Many parents have contacted local councillors, but nothing's ever done. Could you please see if there's anything that can be done before there's a serious accident on that road? And it's not going to be an accident because there's contributing factors, isn't there? I don't know. It's complicated. It seems that there's a bit of horse trading on what routes are gritted. We've got a lot of roads, and I think we all know you can't grit everywhere. But are there areas being gritted that maybe could do without in favour of those that need it more? I don't know. Greg, don't say about Charlie McConnell to be sitting in the studio and everyone has the right to refuse an invite, election or no election. People do have other things in life. Right, Greg, don't say about Charlie McConnell to be sitting in the studio. And everyone has the right to refuse an invite. Of course they do. Of course everyone has a right to say they're going or not. But I also have a right to sort of have a conversation and comment on it. We're also allowed to sort of, if we don't know why, speculate as to why that might be or not. There's no, I mean, it's, that's it. There's no one's feelings are getting hurt, or there's no intention to. Morning. My children attend Craigtown National School in Corandonna. The roads are not on the gritty list and the road's extremely bad. I don't drive and I rely on the bus to take them. It's a disgrace. It's left off the list. Lots and lots of people texting in as it relates to Craigtown National School. It's very possible there's a parents group or friends chatting, and that's fine. That's exactly what you need to do. We're going to pursue this for you. Craigtown National School, road not gritted again, like a bottle this morning. Cars getting stuck. Apparently it's not on the list to be gritted, which is shocking, pointing again to 170 children going to the school. Let's get in touch with the local councillors there. I'm just wondering if you could discuss a topic or mention of a school road in Corandonna out in Craigtown. It's not been gritted and won't be. It's one of our main schools in our town. It's such a dangerous, busy road. We're finding it impassable this morning. Something needs to be done for the safety of everyone. Just to mention would be highly appreciated. So, Caroline, we'll check that out, will we? We'll check it out and see what the story is there. There seems to be definitely a justifiable argument for that road to be gritted, as is being well articulated by people today. Staying with the roads, nobody ever cut the bushes in front of a speed sign at Lurgy Breck School. Traffic calming is a real danger, black and dirty. I gave up mentioning that because if it's not dirty, it's covered by trees and branches. If you're using the climbing lane, you can't see it. There's a list going around showing TD's total earnings, 60 out or so are millionaires. How can they be in touch with working class? Hayley Ray has over 6 million, Larry over 7. Where is the media highlighting this? Well, that's what you vote for, folks. It's common knowledge. All that information is available on the internet. So you can also find out where their interests are in terms of land ownership or business ownership. That's the system. We discuss greatly on this program that often you feel their people are a little bit out of touch. Today we know that so many products for human consumption or use contain very harmful chemicals, colours, additives and fragrances that affect human health and indeed behaviours. Yet the corporations continue to sell them and our government continues to approve them. It's interesting that animal foods have been cleaned up over 40 years ago because it was affecting the animal's health and profit. Recently, an ingredient has been removed from dog food, yet it's still in use for human products. Oh, please tell me it's chocolate. We should be first. Love dogs-ish, but you know. By the way, before I run out of time, tomorrow we are broadcasting live from On Green On Theatre, Caroline, because we are celebrating 25 years of the theatre. So it's a mix of the usual programme, usual features, but also recognising the quarter of a century milestone down there. We're going to talk a little bit about the history of the theatre. Would love to get your input into that as well. Maybe you've got some special memories of the theatre. Maybe that's where you met your one true love. I don't know. But anyway, we have a Friday panel. We're in situ in the studio. We have a studio down there. We haven't a studio. We've created one. It's going to be the business as usual for you listening at home. You won't really tell, except we're going to have loads of content about the theatre. We also have the Friday panel, as I mentioned. And we also have That's Entertainment and loads of other stuff to keep you informed and entertained. And you can watch it as always as well, which we try and ensure that you can do because people view the show in different ways.
Right.
So until tomorrow, that's where we have to leave you. We're heading to Loretto in Milford. I committed to chair a debate up there, and it's going to be an interesting one, actually. There's 7 candidates that are turning up. I believe it's 7. Amongst them, the Green Party, Charlie McConnell Logue, Porrig McLaughlin, and others whose names just escape me at the moment. And that's going to be interesting. 50-odd students voting for the first time. I'll give you an update on how that went tomorrow. And follow our socials. We'll be putting up some clips and some pictures as well from that event at Loretto in Milford. Stay safe, everyone. Stay tuned.